All right. Yes, you'll get it. Now we're recording. The recording has begun. So no more of your nonsense. Did you want to continue telling Mr. Fred about what's going on with Perlis?
Well, it's nice to have a successful immigrant, of course. My parents used to brag about it when I was a kid. They're like, oh, yeah, well, we came to Canada. We got jobs in 3 months. I'm like, oh, yeah, my wife got a job in 2 months. So enough of you people talking about how much of a schmuck my wife is.
Is there?
Hold on. Who's so talking about? Here, yeah, go ahead.
What?
Well, you to hear what he said. We're all of us talking about what a schmuck his wife is. First of all, don't Jewish appropriation or whatever.
I know he's. Anyway, I know he's kidding. But anyway, is there a food stuff that she's eaten since arriving that like is new to her, like a Taco Bell or like I don't know, like just something she'd never had before that sort of common to us or.
No. Oh, well, the thing is, she's so used to all the fast food here.
Yeah, I guess.
But she did have her first, what was it? It was Sichuan hot pot. Like, she's Chinese, and she doesn't know what that was until...
Something Sichuan?
Sichuan hot pot.
Oh, that was a novelty for her?
It's like Chinese fondue. So instead of dipping stuff in cheese, it's a pot full of broth and... like yeah. chilies everywhere.
And that was she had to come all the way to Canada for that.
Well, you know, some cuisines are different. It's all regional, right? Chinese cuisine is regional.
I get it, man.
Howard, I told you that story way back. I think I was still in high school. Buddy invited us over for dinner one night, me and Dahl, and it was going to be fondue. And I thought, oh, this is great. And I asked what fondue was to a few people. And they said, oh, you take these little hunks of meat and you sizzle them and then you roll them around in cheese. I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And we get there, all it was bread and cheese. There was no meat. And I remember being horribly disappointed. And I was of an age, you know, in my view of world foods was somewhat limited at the time, and just thinking, oh my God. And the cheese tasted a bit like wine. It was horrible.
I'll
never forget that.
Apparently not.
I'm thinking, when's he going to roll out the meat?
When's the meat coming? I remember Lou and Luba somewhere in the late 60s, whenever it was, early 70s maybe, got caught up in the fondue craze. Right. And yeah. I don't think my brothers and I were ever part of it, but I remember mm-hmm. them having friends over with the long skewers sitting around cooking with each other. Now I can't think of very many things that would be more aggravating.
Yeah. It's funny, interesting you say that because I guess that was probably late 70s. You know how many people got fondue sets in that area like for Christmas and stuff?
Well, I said late 60s, but maybe it was late 70s.
Yeah. Well, wherever it was one of the... Remember everybody got bread makers one year for a couple of years? They were really popular. But I remember everybody was getting fondue sets because it was the cool thing to do, have people over and give them bread and cheese.
You know, a few years ago, prior to Rachel, in between Lady Friend and Rachel, I don't know if you remember, I was dating this woman for a while, and it became a sponsor on our show. Remember this real estate...
Oh, right. Yes.
Okay. And she was the one that I was dating just briefly when I had my car broken into.
Right.
Well, we were having Korean barbecue for lunch that day. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking how aggravating this ritual was where it's like, yeah, come to our restaurant. You cook the food.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's novel for the first couple of things, but then you become like, I can't cook this meat fast enough. It's too small. I'm not getting enough, and I'm cooking now.
But that's what I do in Cambodia with Pearly now. We do Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she does all the grilling, and she likes it.
That's not meant for impatient people.
No.
No.
That type of thing. That's for people that can sit down and enjoy the experience and relax. That's not you, and to a good measure, that's not me.
Okay. All right. To a good measure, to the...
Listen, I can be impatient, not like you.
Are you talking about...
You get all fidgety, right? Like, come on. Let's get on with this.
I am so much more patient than you. It's not even... You can't even measure it. Yeah, anyway. Why were you smiling when I talked to... That was... I don't know. She was a real... I can't remember her name.
Was that Backseat Bertha?
It wasn't Bertha.
Wasn't male, male, was, right?
Yeah, how was it backseat Bertha?
How do you remember that story?
How would I forget it? You're a man in your 50s and you're, and you make... and you're getting it on with a chick in the back seat of a car,
of like a limo.
You
used to
when you were 18, huh?
Of a limo. Okay. Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, a different one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I see, that's two separate stories. One was one was in the back seat down by the docks there.
That's right. I love that.
Yeah, that was a different person.
Humble and Fred radio was sort of struggling at that point. So, you know, a room at the Seahorse was out of the question.
That's funny. No, this one, we happened to, I don't know how, I guess it was on barter. I got a limo and we right. did it in the limo.
While it was moving?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And what was the driver doing?
He was minding his own business.
Did he
like, put up the partition? Yeah, yeah. I asked him to put right. the partition, and then okay. I don't want to belabor this story, but the
please, please.
But the part of the story that's really funny to me is that so we went to dinner, her and I, and then we went out on this drive. You know, late at night, and not that late actually. Now that because right. so it's in the evening. It's dark. Is my point. Then when it was over. I get a text from Charlie saying, if you're, because I had a check for her for something. I can't remember what it was. She said, hey, if you're in the neighborhood, could you drop that check off? And I'm like, sure. So I told the driver to go to where Charlie was. And we stopped the car, but I get out of the car because I don't want her coming into the limo.
Of course not.
So she's like, oh, you have a limo? I'm like, yeah. She goes, can I see? I said, no, 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 no. It's messy and then whatever. No. So I just remember thinking, you know, this is my life now. I'm a middle-aged man driving around in a limo where business has just taken place and I'm dropping off a check to my kid. Yeah. That's and you know what? That's a true story.
I know it's true. Both of them. Absolutely. I love those stories.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets, sang children. I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
You love this film.
Episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and our newest sponsor, Duer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, we have a Patreon account. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah, Duer, the world's most comfortable pants. It's spelled D-U-E-R. Freddie and I and Phil got ourselves some sweet stretchy denims. We'll tell you about those later. One of our guests that has been now scheduled twice, John Hastings, once again bailing on us. I told Boone we shouldn't have him back, but then I had a change of heart because I like John. Anyway, John is now scheduled for later in September. Mark Hebscher coming out of the bullpen again. It'll be great talking to Mark. Mark's got himself a new lady friend as well. And I met her the other night at Toronto Mike's listener experience. And Mark seems very happy. The young woman is a younger woman. Is very lovely.
He's in a good place.
Yeah, man. And check this out. Because he loves golf. He loves his golf, Mark Hebscher. And she is a golfer.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
That's ecstasy. That's what that is. Yeah, and it'll be interesting to talk to him about a significant sporting event last night, and then one we'll talk about yesterday. The Canadian women won the World Hockey Championship last night, Howard. I watched it to the bitter end. It was... there's nothing quite like those kids. And I say kids, but they're women. I don't know.
They're kids.
When the... you know, the anthem plays and they're singing it loud after they've, you know, had the gold medals draped around their necks. It really, I got a little choked up. It's emotional, and they won it in overtime, and the goal, the girl, I forget who scored it. She scored it and the play continued because the referee somehow didn't see it go in the net. So play is continuing and Canada's going sort of crazy on the bench. Like, that was in. And you're thinking, is this another U.S. thing where...
They get us somehow.
You know, the U.S. will come back and score, and they'll win the championship, and there'll be some ridiculous rule how we got robbed again by the Yanks. But all of a sudden, the buzzer goes off because it went to instant replay while the play was still on. Yeah. And when they realized it was a goal, they just hit the buzzer, and Canada had won.
How did they, excuse my ignorance, because I just was barely aware it was going on. How did the puck come out of the net? That's how the play continued?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What it did, it went in just up under the crossbar, come straight down just inside the line and out.
So a few kids didn't see it, and so they start scrambling for it, thinking it hadn't crossed.
Well, I think most of the players knew it was in, but the referee waved it off or let the play continue. So, of course, if you're the U.S., you're going to continue playing like it didn't go in. And then, of course, the Canadians have to chase them down. It was a bit of a shit show, but in the end, all was good.
And what was the other supporting event that you were referring to? You said we'll talk about it?
The one yesterday in Brantford, apparently there was this... Was it Brantford? Okay.
No,
it was There was this... Where was it?
It's in Newmarket.
It was in Newmarket. I forgot. Newmarket, there was a big golf tournament.
No. It's not a qualifier golf tournament. A qualifier.
A qualifier for the Senior Men's Ontario thing, and a local boy does well.
All right.
Local meaning in this room.
Yeah, I get it. I get what you mean. Okay.
Congratulations, Fred.
No.
That's funny.
No.
No, that's funny,
this
though.
This is crazy. Huh?
Congratulations, Fred, is funny. You're playing... when are you playing? Tomorrow, I was going to try and play with you guys. You get the big game tomorrow?
Yes.
I really want to come up there and hang out with you guys. You know, I know you don't think 20th. I do, but I do.
The week of the 20th, we're going to do something.
The week of the 20th.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, the problem is I have a tournament on the 23rd in Brampton. And then I'm going away that weekend to have a tournament in St. Thomas.
Jesus. Wow.
And what's that, sir?
Okay, let's clarify this.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you were in a qualifier for the Ontario Senior Men's. You finished, what, fourth? You qualified. A great achievement.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Good on you.
Yeah.
No, fantastic. It really is. A man of your age qualifying.
I am an old man now, though.
No, it's serious. Well, in your 60s, you're knocking off guys in their 50s. No, that is good. So what? So when is this tournament that you...
This tournament I just for. And to be clear, I've qualified for it before this, but I because of COVID, everything got moved around last year, and I went to qualify for this last year, and I completely shit the bed. So I was kind of anxious to get into it again. So for me, I was, you know, all things being equal, on any given day, I can shoot a number that would easily qualify. But you know, the problem with golf is this: it's the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do for me, at least, and maybe others find this, is to play well on the day you have to play well. Like when it's like I was talking about this with a friend of mine who just won the Canadian Mid-Am. Like, he's a superstar golfer. You know, he's ranked in the world, so he's way beyond me. But we were talking about how qualifiers are often tougher than playing in the tournament, because if you have a bad day, you have to wait another year. Like, you know, in a golf tournament, you can have one day that's kind of mediocre and make up for it in 3 days. But yesterday's, you know, I felt a lot of pressure that I put on myself because I really wanted to play in this tournament, which is the week of the 13th in Bath, Ontario, which is just outside of Kingston. So that's my story.
Where the Tragically Hip have their studio.
Yeah.
Maybe you can hang out with the boys.
Maybe
jamming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure they still have that and use it on some level.
Hebsy apparently is a big Hib fan. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk to him about, you know, Boone put it in the notes, and it's partly true. Like, I was never really a big Hib fan. When you and I played music and I mean, I was not a Hib fan, but I just didn't really appreciate their music. And then, of course, when, you know, later in life, when you're not playing music and you can enjoy it, like, I really love that band now, especially in the cottage, you know, environment. So we can talk about that with Hebsy.
Yeah, it's really interesting how you... I've used the word interesting quite a bit today already. And really, I don't like leaning on that word, but I find it interesting.
I find that interesting that you're saying
how
that.
How tastes vary. Because I've told you, neighbor John, who I love dearly like a brother, like, can't stand the Tragically Hip, and he's trained even his sons to not like them. And I really can't relate to that, right? Because he hears something different than I hear. And there was a time where you were here or there on them, and I would have even thought then, like, yeah, that's odd. Like, yeah, that's odd. How can you not like that? And then a switch goes off, eh?
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's a weird thing I think that happens with a lot of radio announcers.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing those songs every day, mm-hmm. year after year after year, I just didn't. Away from work, I almost never listened to any Edge music. And I've told you this before. I really didn't appreciate in the 90s how good Soundgarden was, Pearl Jam, right. The Foo Fighters. And they were just songs that were playing, to be fair, in between, you know, when you and I were going to do our thing.
Yeah.
I didn't resent them. I just was, they were just there.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know,
we weren't concentrating on them.
And I almost listened to none of it.
Right.
But you had a different experience because you were, you know, you're up at the lake every summer and, you know, you had some of that stuff on your playlist. I didn't. Plus, my ex-wife hated the music. Not hates. Mm-hmm. She was a big R&B fan and listened to WKBW in Buffalo. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. she was really into soul music. And so we never really listened to, like, we would never have the Tragically Hip on at my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly appreciate them now, and a lot of other bands now.
Well, I've never been one. I just like new music. The other day, we talked about Dan Duran and Darren beating me and Shep for the Bocce Championship here at the lake. Well, Shep had brought a little blaster down, a music thing, and he was playing this, like, classic rock, old classic rock, which I really... can't.
Yeah, I despise it.
I'm just not.
Just hate
I just. It depresses me. I don't even know if depress is the word. I just don't like it. Right. So I said to him at one point. I said, "Hey, Chef, what do you call this playlist, Dad?" Right. So never liked it. And then Dan Duran get into it. Do you not have something else you could play?
Oh, that's right.
And then Shep said something like, "Why, you don't like this, Dan?" And Dan said that. He said, "You know, most of my early radio career, I just heard way too much of this stuff. So yeah,
exactly.
I'm tired of it now." So,
well, mm-hmm. you know, it's funny. Stern's been great this summer because he's off the entire summer and all it is interviews. And this last couple of weeks, it's been rock stars. And he had Sammy Hagar on recently and the Black Crowes. And he loves those guys and that kind of music. And I keep thinking to myself, like, I can, you know, there's a couple of Van Halen songs that I wouldn't, you know, hate. But all that music, that style of music is just not in my wheelhouse at all.
I was in a conversation yesterday with Ivor Hamilton, you know, a significant player in the music industry in Canada.
Universal Music, yeah, man.
Yeah, and Darren, and they were talking about some, they go to a lot of exhibits, like they even travel, Darren and Ivor have traveled to like Europe, England, to see exhibits about bands, right? Like, we're at some Black Sabbath one. Some of them, I don't know.
Some exhibit about bands.
No, I get it, man. They were talking about how how cool it would be if Rush did that, because they're international stars.
Yeah.
And they and I think Darren said, you know, that would really lend itself to Rush. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't like their music, but I love the story.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's love a lot the guys of bands
too.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands like that. Like, it's a very, very interesting story, and I've got all the time in the world for the story, but not necessarily the music, if that makes sense.
It's so funny you say that. Interesting. You know what's interesting, Phil? Things are interesting.
It's very interesting.
Do you like interesting things, Phil?
I like very interesting things.
Interesting you say that, because I loved the interview with Sammy Hagar, and I turned it off when they started playing. Because it was a new song, and I'm like, okay. Not for me. Same with the Black Crowes. You know, there's a couple Black Crowes songs I like, but the story of the two brothers and how they broke up and they were pissed off at each other, it's very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, we share Stern's love of McCartney. When he has McCartney on, it's just, you know, I like that Howard gets a little tongue-tied with him. Because I would be, I mean, we're not comparing ourselves to Stern, everyone, so relax. But I can hear it in his voice. When even he is intimidated by somebody, and I think it's one of his most, I'm going to say it, one of the most endearing qualities of the guy is that as famous as Howard Stern is, as much money as he's made, he gets excited to talk to these rock stars. And I think it's sweet.
Well, you heard the Neil Young interview.
I have
Neil
not.
Young. Oh, well.
No, I'm going
look
to.
Look it up. Like, Neil Young is right up there near the top with Stern, right?
Yeah.
As far as artists that he loves. And it was the same thing. When he was talking to Neil Young, it was like this adulation, like, just loved it, which I can see, too.
But don't you find it, I don't know if I'm using the right words, but I it's one of my favorite qualities of the guy is that it. His stage, he's still excited, and it's not bullshit. He's not putting it on. He still gets excited to talk to these rock stars that he grew up with. I think it's great.
And that's how he explains it. It's like I told that story last week about being in the restaurant or out in the patio with Neil Young, not knowing it until after the fact, but I just had this weird feeling because all these thoughts came back when I was 14 and 15 and after the Gold Rush came out and Harvest and what those albums mean to you. There's something about music that does that to you. Because it's so inspirational at certain parts of your life. And then to think that you're in the presence of the person that actually put pen to paper and created that. Something else, really.
I'm sorry, Phil. Really? Are we feels like literally in the middle of a yawn. How about when you yawn, you turn off your camera?
Phil wants to talk about Yo-Yo Ma.
That's right. I wanted to talk about Yoko Ono. Number nine.
Phil, were you never taught to cover your mouth when you yawn? Was that not part of the Hong experience?
That's a thing.
All right. Listen, guess what day it is?
Yep.
It's the 1st of September, everybody, if you're listening to this program in the future. Hi, how's it going? Are we still here? Is one of us deed? CHMI. All right, Phil. This program is brought to you by the Chamber Plan, Freddie P.
Yeah, Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote for your small business. Do your employees a favor. You know, they'll love you for it. Become part of the Chamber Plan. You can do it. It doesn't matter how big your company is. As I say, go to chamberplan.ca. You can get a free quote. Your small business can become part of 30,000 other Canadian businesses. All right? And you can provide for your employees like you've never provided before. All sorts of testimonials on the page. You know, small businesses, again, that thought they couldn't have a package, a benefits package, but found out they can. It really is something. They've been around for 40 years, whether it's you know, prescriptions or dental or all kinds of therapies are offered depending on the level that you buy into. It's all there. It's all to be had. It's very simple to sign up. It's stable. Again, they've been around 40 years. And it's the smart thing to do. It really is. The Chamber Plan. Chamberplan.ca.
Well, guys, we're pretty excited. Duer, D-U-E-R, Duer has the world's most comfortable pants. I have them here in the studio. They got dropped off last night, and I'm going to be distributing them. They have five times the stretch of traditional denim and does not compromise on style. The technical performance fabric woven into Duer's denim keeps you cool when the temps are hot and warm when things get chilly. The pants are breathable, lightweight, and durable, allowing you to look great and move freely. Duer is proudly Canadian, also prides itself as being sustainable. Many of their products are made from natural materials like plants and eucalyptus trees, and some pants use sustainable fibers from wood chips, plants, and recycled plastic bottles. It all comes together and looks amazing. Use code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order at Duer.ca, D-U-E-R.ca. By the way, just you're going to notice today that Fred and I are not going to be telling you to get vaccinated on behalf of the government of Ontario. But we do like you to just understand that even though we're not doing the government of Ontario's bidding anymore, at least at this point, we still want you to get fucking vaccinated. OK, so there you go. That's my. And by the way, I'll just say this. If you don't know by now, go to Ontario.ca/book vaccine. Just go and do it and stop being an idiot. That should be funny, their tagline.
Funny little story over the past couple of days. Did you hear that the U.S. had issued this thing to citizens not to come to Canada?
Not to come to Canada. I have it right here. How the fuck? Are you kidding me? Go.
Well, they retracted it a bit because they issued that thinking Canada was in some level four... level four situation when really it was level three. So now they've pulled it back and said people that aren't vaccinated might want to think twice about coming to Canada. But then you break down the numbers and it's like, where do you, like, are you, what kind of world are you people living in? You know?
It's just so fucking unbelievable. I mean, here's the world they're living in. 156,000 new cases, 1,232 deaths yesterday. And here in Canada, yeah, our numbers are up, but we had 2,900 cases yesterday and 14 people passed because of COVID. And it just drives me crazy, this whole thing. Listen, I understand it was a terrible thing that happened at the airport in Kabul last week, whenever that was, and that these right wing idiots calling for Biden's resignation. How they can look at those numbers. 657,000 dead Americans, 1,200 dead Americans yesterday from something that could that didn't have to. Listen, those people that were protecting the evacuees in Kabul, they knew the risks. And it's pretty hard to defend against somebody that wants to kill you that bad.
Yeah. You know, I was on a global news site, and this is what it said. The U.S. right now is 272 cases per 100,000. That sounds high. Canada is 9. And they're telling their people,
yeah,
you might not want to go to Canada.
They should tell their people, don't leave the house.
Again, I read that once and I read it twice and it's like,
I'm looking at it here, Freddie. It's 120,000 per 1 million. So that's basically 120,368 cases per million population. And we are.
Well, let's just put it this way. It's not even a contest per 100,000. I mean, we are just so much. And, you know, eligible vaccinations, Canada's like 76, and they're not even at 60% yet.
No, they're not even at 50%.
Oh, okay. So
75.68% of Canadians have been fully vaccinated, or eligible Canadians.
Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a funny little story, because here we are in this situation where we're allowing Americans to come into the country and they're not allowing Canadians to go into their country. Over land, that is, of course.
But so why is that? Why? Where did they get this information from?
I don't know. I don't know. Meanwhile, there's about half a dozen countries now that have shut the border. European countries, EU countries that have said no to Americans now aren't allowed in. I don't have the list, but that's interesting. But it's and you talk about vaccine. Look at the states where it's blowing out of proportion, or they're blowing the roof off with the cases, and it's all those states that have the yokels that don't want to get vaccinated.
Yesterday, around the planet Earth, that's the planet we're on, Phil, I'm not sure if you're still with us, there were 600 and some odd thousand cases, and 150,000 of them came from America. So, we've got 7-some billion people, they've got 330 million, and a huge amount of Earth's cases are still coming from that country.
Although when it comes to those stats, the world stats, I'm a little nervous to use those, because a lot of countries in the world aren't. There's a lot more cases than reporting, or they even know what is.
Among the countries that are, in a position to report accurately. Germany, France. I trust Spain and Italy. They have enough health. Their systems are run, on the similar fashion. Yeah, I get it. India's cases have got to be way underreported. But the big frustration is you could easily do something about it. I wrote down another thing I wanted to ask you about the status of the fourth wave and where we're at with that, because as much as I don't want the hot weather to be over, I am ready for the punishing weather to be over. But we all know that we're only a couple months away here from the end of all this sunshine and lollipops, and we're all going to be going back inside here soon.
Yeah, it's disturbing. We're a little nervous. The kids going back to school, and
are they really?
There are cases of more and more cases of children getting it. The severity is the question. How bad do they get it? Do they even know they have it? But they get it.
So when do the kids go back? This is the first time. Give us some perspective.
Next Tuesday.
So this will be the first time that they go into a school since March of 2020?
Yeah.
How do they feel about that?
Oh, they're excited. And so they should be. They're really excited about going back to school and seeing their friends and everything. And, it was a lot. It was a big decision for my daughter. And, they apparently had the at-home option. It's still there if you want it. But these kids, they need to get back at it as well,
They need to get for the socialization, for sure.
Yeah. And back to some degree of normalcy. So that's a concern. And even the hospitalizations are popping up a bit. But it all gets back to vaccinations, like you started. When you look at the hospitalizations and the number of unvaccinated people and the number of fully vaccinated people in the hospital and the ratio, you just have to think, if everybody got double vaxxed, how small that number would be. Yes, we know double vaxxed people would still get sick and maybe even have to go to the hospital, but the number would be insignificant.
Yeah.
And it's all there to be seen. Just roll it out, crunch the numbers. It's all there for you. And of course, anti-vaxxers might reply, "Oh, you can't believe those numbers." Well, I guess I'm a fucking sucker. I believe them.
It's funny how they say that. You can't believe those numbers, but when they cite the number of people that have died in car accidents and cancer and diabetes and fat people, those numbers are accurate. I was thinking about how different it is at a different stage of life. Like for a 6-year-old and 8-year-old, like your grandchildren, it's like they've got, for their development mentally and socially and every other way, they need to socialize and be in social situations. Whereas like at my age, I'm like, so I don't have to continue to keep hanging out with people. This is a great excuse. I'm not rushing to start socializing again. I mean, we have, but we're at a different stage of life where I don't, I'm not rushing back to go to parties and such, you know.
No, I agree. I think into my 40s, you know, if there was a party on the weekend or looking forward to a wedding, it was like I looked forward to events. It's like, oh, on
no, I know.
You know, on Friday night we're going over to Bob's place. Oh, that'll be great. I'll see so-and-so and everything. Have a few, you know, and or you know, a wedding. Oh yeah, that wedding's next month. That'll be fun. And then all of a sudden, you look at those events and you think, oh shit, I gotta go.
I know. How many more sleeps till I have to go and hang out with those people?
Okay, if we're going over to Bob's tonight, I'm, you know, like by 10:30, let's make a move out. You know what I'm saying?
No, I remember getting shit from Randy and then, you know, subsequent people saying things to me like, okay, when we get there, don't announce when we're leaving. That's what I would do. I'm like, hey, great to be here. Just so you know, around 10:15, I'm going to roll out of here. Anyway, listen.
I'm even like that now. When we go out for dinner, like, I love the idea of going out for dinner and sitting down and looking at the menu and
yeah, sure,
something new and enjoying it. But the minute I finished eating, I want the fuck out. It used to be that I could sit there and chat, and I just want to leave. Yeah. I don't know. It's because of my digestive system, what it is. My balance of hormones or whatever it is.
Sure.
I just want to.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm the same way. You know, I always open up a menu because I probably go up at dinner a little more than you do. But
yeah,
I mean, not physically anymore, but we will order mm-hmm. in. But I've had that experience where you open a menu. It's exciting because you always think this is going to be the meal where I'm going to find something new and delightful and it'll be a great mm-hmm. experience. But for the most part, I end up ordering the same stuff most of the time. Mm-hmm. Or I'll ask Rachel, what do you think I should have? And what are you going to have? And then I'll have some of what you're having. And sounds dreadful.
What's the term for too much choice? Somebody used it.
Spoiled by choice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's,
you know,
what
I use the analogy or the comparison to Netflix. Some night Netflix, Prime, you sit down some nights, I'm going to watch something really good tonight.
Yeah.
And then 45 minutes later, you're still scrolling all the shit through the shit and haven't decided what you're going to watch. Restaurants with huge menus are the same way. It's like, was I talking to you about it or was it Darren? I can't remember. You almost enjoy a limited menu now.
Yeah.
Where you go in and there might be five or six choices. You know that style of restaurant?
Yeah, for sure.
So you're not.
I'm always suspicious if the menu's too big.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you've got that item here. And if you do, what are the chances? Like, if you have a huge menu, don't you have to have all that food there all the time?
Exactly.
Bullshit.
And what state is, if it's something that you look at and you think liver and onions or whatever, a lot of people wouldn't order.
Yeah.
Like, what state is it in? What state does it start in before you prepare it for me? Is it some little frozen packet or something? I mean, at the end of the day, as long as it tastes good. But I'm the same way. Some of these restaurants, these roadhouses, like, style restaurants, like, pride themselves in these, like, thick menus. And it's like, oh, my God.
And that's the thing, is I'll look through it quickly because I don't have the patience, as you pointed out. And then I just end up buying and getting the same thing. Okay, I have chicken wings, lightly pepper, dry lemon pepper. Do you want to do the emails now or should we wait till tomorrow? Since we are doing a show tomorrow, we've got Hebsy coming up and we've got some Dan Duran today. Tim Niblett will pop in, the retirement Sherpa.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, well, we can save them. There's only three of them, but we also have a couple other things we have to get to.
Okay.
I'm going to save the Bodog to talk about it with the Hebsy man.
Okay.
Because we can talk some betting stuff. But I think, and Hebsy will be the Gigs Guy guest of the day. So I guess we're all good here. You don't need to do, you're not doing Sherpa. So you know what? Why don't we do the emails now?
Okay.
Because we've got time.
Hi, guys.
Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Get a hold of us. You can also interact with us on Twitter. I think Instagram still. And, of course, Facebook. We're live every morning. You can check it out at Humble Fred Radio on Facebook. Freddie.
Hi, guys.
Okay, this is from Brent Atkinson. Hi, guys. Enjoying the last weeks of the summer. I've had some catching up to do listening to your show on the August 25th edition. Fred spoke about his testicular challenges when wearing a swimsuit. underwear and a bathing suit worn together?
Yeah, that's
what, with a question mark.
Is that what you said you did that? Underwear and a bathing suit?
Yeah, I said because the netting gives me crotch rot.
So all right, okay.
Sort of this athletic underwear I put on under.
Okay, all right.
He says, layering is for the fall and winter, not the smoldering August heat. Get yourself a Saks swimsuit, man. They've branched out in the underwear business to include swimsuits, which comfortably cradle the ball sack.
Cradles the ball sack.
No longer will you have to accumulate laundry or worry about inadvertently luring fish while it's cooling off in Lovesick Lake.
About worry about inadvertently luring fish. I see, because the fish would come because of your stinky ass.
And nibble on my baggage.
Nibble
on my baggage. While cooling off in Lovesick Lake. Enjoy the rest of the summer, Brent. Well, thank you, Brent. I will keep that in mind. Saks, I know they have quite a reputation for underwear, so if they're making swimsuits, I'll put Delise on that. She is my clothing purchaser.
All right. Hmm. She's also the one that picked out your clothes as well.
Yes.
Fantastic.
She did.
Fantastic.
Hi, guys.
All right, guys. Phil, what do you say? Hi, hello.
Hello, people.
Hello, people. This one from Francis D. Oliveira. Hello, Francis. Fred's, we were talking about non-alcoholic beer. I had quite a conversation with your friend Darren back and forth. Darren and I were texting the other day about different non-alcoholic beers and options. And I think I told him about this non-alcoholic gin and tonic that I had that I would also highly recommend if you're looking to go a little booze free. It's by a company called Clever Mocktails. And if you're looking to buy the Sober Carpenter and other brands like that, there's a company called Well.ca. They're a pharmacy, but they're also a sort of a food place as well that you can order stuff from, Freddie. And yeah, Darren gave me a bunch of other non-alcoholic options.
Well, he gave me one yesterday because we were sitting with Iver and I had a couple of regular Miller Lights. The one called Partake.
Yeah, I've had those.
You've had one?
Yep.
And he says they're like fantastic. And I was reading the label because I also saw a note that Darren had put on Facebook saying some of the non-alcoholic beers you got to watch because the sugar content is
up pretty
there,
high. So
be careful. But this Partake is like zero calories, zero carbs, and or 10 calories, I'm sorry, and like zero carbs. And I haven't tasted it yet. I have it in my cooler. I will today. But he says it's fantastic. Really enjoys it.
Yeah, I've had them. You know, the key is, and by the way, I've heard that conversation about how much sugar there are in these, but there's sugar in beer. There's, you know, there's sugar in alcohol.
Right.
But I've tried, the key for me is it has to be really cold. And usually I'm good for about one of them, sometimes two, but mostly one. And I promise you there are beers that I have tasted in this category that you would never know were near beers. They're just so good now.
Well, I'm going to try Partake.
Francis says, Fred's reaction that non-alcoholic beer prices are the same as regular beer. He didn't say it, but you know, Fred was thinking, why would they be the same when they've taken out the alcohol? And I don't know. I guess because...
And are they the same price? I've lost track. Is that the situation?
They're about $3 a can, sort of in that...
Oh, that's right. You did say that.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, that's the same as a lot of the tall boys that I bought.
Yeah.
You know, as singles to try stuff out. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
Well, he said too, and to be, I think yesterday, Ivor, because Ivor's into the non-alcoholic beer too. I think this Partake, they admitted it might be a bit pricey. It's $8.99 or something for a six pack.
Well, so. I don't know. It's been so long since I bought real beer. I don't really have a perspective. I can just tell you there's two or three of them. The Sober Carpenter, the Erdinger, the Klaus Taller. I'm not a big fan of the Coors Light Edge or whatever it's called. Same with the Heineken. Don't like it as much. Grolsch is pretty good. There's a Grolsch Rattler that's no good for me. It's too sweet. But there's a bunch of them now that if you like beer and you don't want as much alcohol, or maybe you'd like a few in the afternoon and not get that beer buzz, they're a really good option now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Fredzy, yeah. Let's do one more before we get to the Hebsy. Fredzy and Hebsy.
Hi, guys.
From Rick Cameron.
Come on. Come on.
You know, he's such a great fan of the show, Hundy P. Just a
super supporter.
He's loyal. He's loyal.
Loyal.
He says, glad you had a great vacation. Loved Fred's McDonald's story. We wouldn't have done the same run around, a run around for our kids, but grandkids are the exception. And really, that nails it. And how do you explain that? It's right. I probably would have given up on my own kids back in the day. But
that's what I said to you. I said, if that were your kids, you'd say, here's a pizza. Eat it.
Yeah. No, exactly. Hate board games more than humble. When my sister announces at her cottage for the kids to go and pull out a game, I head for the beer fridge. Then the dock. Cheers, you buggers. Rick Cameron.
He's a nice man, Rick Cameron. Mm-hmm. Once again, if you want to get a hold of us, it's Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. And we always appreciate your interest in this program. Maybe we don't say it enough. We do. I mean, it's the fact that some of you have been with us as long as you have is, I don't know, says something about you and us. We're all in this together. Okay. Recently, we've had this gentleman on our program for many years. He was the go-to guy when it came to intelligent, irreverent, insightful, informative, intriguing. I'm out of whatever this is, but I'll tell you, it's always great to talk any kind of sports with this guy. He's the host of Hebsy on Sports, live on YouTube every Friday morning at 9:20, co-hosted by Toronto Mike. And I recently had the pleasure, Fred, of seeing our friend Hebsy in person. He's looking very, very good, very fit. That's what it is. It's, you know what it is? It's the love of a good person. I don't see gender. I don't even know what he's with, but
yeah. And today he's sporting a Toronto Maple Leafs baseball club cap.
That's very cool.
It is. I love that.
I think the word you were thinking of was superlatives, Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ran out of superlatives. Thank you. You know what I was doing? Because I was literally switching screens while I was doing all that. By the way, to start with, when I saw you the other night with your new lady friend, and I said
new, but anyway, yeah.
Well, new to me. So I said to her, Fred, as I approached Mark, yes. I said, excuse me, young lady. Yes. Is it okay if I speak to your father? And I did that, and I apologize, Mark, but all the time that this guy gave me shit, for 6 years, I got nothing but crap from him going, is your daughter going to be with you? So it was a compliment. I know that she's not way younger than you, but yeah, it was nice to see both of you.
But she's Asian, and I'm white, so when
are you?
Said, I mean, that's what made the joke beautiful, Howard.
Oh, did it?
I mean, well, the people around were like, right. Wait a second. I, you know,
he didn't tell me that part.
No, but not that white people don't have Asian offspring. I forgot
that part.
Right. Yes. Okay.
It was funny.
Oh, I just thought, I thought you were with her because Jewish people love Chinese food.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. There you go.
So, no, I won't say it. How about, how much younger, Mark, is she than you? Can we talk about
that?
She's
12 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Did you consciously seek a younger woman, or it just happened?
I was looking for a golf partner, honest to God.
Mm-hmm.
Gender wasn't that important. It would have been nice to have I'm heterosexual, but it's nice to have a female to be able to play golf with. And so that's how it, I mean, it was a golf site versus a dating site.
Get out.
Is it a golf single? Is it a golf single site? Like you were?
No, it's not. It's like find a golfer and play golf.
Really?
So the love of golf is number one. And then if you get to know that person over 4.5 hours or whatever, good on you.
This turned into romance.
Absolutely.
That's a great story.
She's more obsessed with golf than Howard is.
No, that's not possible.
Okay. It is possible. I didn't think so either, Howard.
No, here's why I say that, Mark, because go ahead, Fred, because there's just no way you understand the level that I'm at. But go ahead, Freddie. Well,
okay. I think so, I do, though, Howard. I mean, as far as the number of years you've played.
No. Just that? The depth I get to. But anyways, Freddie, what's your question?
I want to get back to the sex and stuff.
Yeah.
Sure. What do you want to know?
So when you and I hook up, apparently is the wrong term. When you selected this person or you selected each other to play golf with.
Right.
At what point did you start thinking, I wouldn't mind having a relationship with this woman? So the very first time before you had met her, when you clicked on her and it was decided you were going to have golf, what was in your head? Only golf or like, ooh, I might have a shot at this, or where is this going to go?
Yeah, probably the combination of them. The fact that the love of golf was the idea of, oh, you know, let's play golf and see what it's like. So golf would have been the first date, right?
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't, even though we had met and spoken and that type of thing. The fact that we both were looking forward to playing golf, getting out there and spending, like I say, 4.5 hours or whatever together, that's a pretty big step.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to ask a couple golf things, though. Sorry, I cut you off again. Go ahead, finish your sentence.
Who, me?
I'm done.
Okay.
Oh, no,
so,
Mark.
Because years ago, in between, I can't remember who, I somewhere in the, maybe before Rachel, I saw a thing online. It was a golf singles site. And I was sort of intrigued, thinking, oh, that would be cool because I could meet somebody that also liked to play. And then I gave up on it. But I'm curious, in your search, so you didn't specify gender. You were just looking for almost like a golf buddy to play with.
No, I think I was. I was looking for, a woman that enjoyed golf.
Okay. Did you specify, on the site, is there a handicap range? Like, and by the way, for you people who don't know golf, I'm not talking about a handicapped person. I'm saying, like, so you just put in, like, anyone that plays, because for me, I wouldn't put in somebody that was, like, brand new to the game if I were looking for a golf partner. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And the funny thing is I wasn't thinking about it, but as soon as I started playing with her, I was like, oh, okay. She had just taken up the game 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she's picking up things at an incredibly rapid rate, as you know, Howard, an incredibly rapid rate, not as a young person picking it up, like, I don't want to do this or whatever. Mm-hmm. Someone who is focused, laser focused on playing golf as often as possible, getting better. Like, almost immediately. Just took it up, her, love it, does she everything else aside.
Does she play from the ladies' tees or from the whites?
Can't call them that. Fred, now come on.
All right, the dick outs or whatever you call them.
Yeah, that's better. You can't call them the ladies' tees, but you can call them the dick outs.
That's
and
right.
And on that point, the first time you saw her, did she make your putter stand on end?
The first time? No.
Okay.
No, but she just come off the subway at the corner, Young and Bluer, and I was like, and I'd never met her before. Mm-hmm. We had spoken and texted and FaceTimed and, you know, everything like that. And we met. It was lovely. We had a nice, you know, it was a hot day, and we walked all around downtown Toronto. Nice. She's from Markham. Oh. She's from Markham. So not that she hasn't been to downtown Toronto, but she doesn't live down there like I do.
And you're a cool city guy and such. But what about the first time you played with her? I'm talking golf now, you nasty bastards. Mm-hmm. What did you notice right away? Like, because somebody that's only been playing for 3 or 4 years, and you've been playing a long time, you're pretty competent. And so at first, did you go, she takes so long, or was she pretty good right away? And you're like, oh, great, I can deal with this.
Oh, yeah. No, she can drive the golf ball straight and true. Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Like anything else, the short game, you know, needs work. But she never asked for tips. And, you know, I mean, I might say one or two things. But basically what happened was, after a while, I said, you know what, if you took an actual formal lesson, which she never had, you know, and let someone else, not me, look at, you know, who's good, look at your swing, your stance, your posture, your ball position, your grip, and then off you go. Yeah. So that's what we did in the first month or so. Because she wanted to play better, and she was more than willing
for any
help possible from a professional. Yeah.
What was the answer to that question as far as what tee she plays from, and what do you call them now? I'm sorry.
The forward tees.
Well, I mean, yeah. Does she? Oh, okay. Where else would she play from?
Well, maybe the whites, like I do. Like, you know, there's a lot of women are better golfers than me.
Oh, really? So, you know, when somebody tells me the tees they play, it really doesn't matter, because at some golf courses, the whites are this many yards, and some courses, the front tees are that many yards. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, my older brother, who's a little bit older than you, has a lady friend as well, 2 or 3 year relationship now, and she's as obsessed with golf as anyone I've ever met, in terms of like they belong to a club, they'll go to play golf, they'll practice after, and they'll come home and watch golf.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Exactly. But I'm really happy for you, dude. And that's, it was always, it was lovely seeing you in person. And, you know, I'm so socially awkward that I don't know what to say. And I just scramble around and then I leave.
Howard, I think everyone understands that. I think everyone gets it. Mike even mentioned it after you were gone. You know, Howard had other things. Like, yeah, Howard shows up, waves to Mike to say, I'm here. Mm. Mike slides everybody off to the side and says, all right, Howard comes up, does 5 fabulous. kills on his way out, little nod, half of a hug, and then like, literally disappears like a vapor trail. Honest to God,
because I'm so awkward, it's not
but
funny.
That's a perfect, Howard, that's what it wants to be, because if you hung out you
might gets
say
worse.
Something that would have ruined that great 5 minutes. I don't know.
That's, you know, true. That, yeah. I know,
chances are.
That's, well, I don't deny it. So Freddie tells me last night he got a little emotional when Canada beat the USA in the gold medal game at a world championship hockey event that I didn't know what was going on until yesterday. What are your thoughts about that?
You guys have daughters and I don't. So there's something there that I don't have. My girlfriend has a daughter and there's, I guess, you know, a daughter. And, you know, years ago, this would have never happened. And look at how wonderful or how much better it appears that things are doing for women's sports. But the fact that it was on the heels of Canada's gold medal at the Olympics in soccer, now it's like, wait a second. You know, we're moving by leaps and bounds in international sports, team sports, with our gals. So I just got to believe that every little girl, you know, is like, I want to be able to do that. And the opportunities are there. Not necessarily in Canada, though. Like, you got to go to the States for athletic scholarships. All the really good players, you know, somehow ended up going to the States and playing at Harvard or, you know, wherever. And so that I kind of makes me a little, it's a bit bittersweet because, yeah, they're representing Canada. But why can't they make a living here playing professionally?
Because you got to sell tickets. And I'm going to say, it's an unpopular thing to say. I look at women's hockey, you know, when they play in the Olympics and the World Championships, as more of an event, an emotional event, because, you know what, Mark, let's be honest. I mean, the brand of hockey isn't that good. And at the end of the day, if they're going to make a living off it, they have to put people in arena and to buy tickets to watch it. And I just think the brand of hockey isn't there where people would pay to watch it to the extent that they can make a living off it. I mean, that's just my opinion. What do you think?
I think people should put up or shut up. I think if you really want, I think instead of going to the leagues and people and saying, come on, support this. The product you have has to be very good, but also it has to be marketed properly. And you can, there's not 10 people that I know that could name the teams in the professional women's hockey league, which league it is, what the history of those leagues are. And until you see some stability at the top, then the product could be spectacular, but it's got to be marketed, especially nowadays where there's so much competition. Freddie, last night with the gold medal game on, I'm switching back and forth between, listen to this, Vasek Pospisil playing a phenomenal 5-setter at the U.S. Open, which he won. Tremendous drama. The Jays and the Orioles. Okay, I get it. The Jays, you know, are out of it, sort of, whatever. But still, Vladdy Guerrero, George Springer, the whole drama that surrounds the team and the gold medal game. I'm thinking, man, that's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to grab eyeballs.
Yeah. I didn't watch the tennis, but I was the same, bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
But when it got to, I'll tell you, when it gets to the overtime, I have equal emotion when it comes to international sport for the men and the women. You so want them to win, and when they do, it chokes you up.
But did you not find, Freddie, that the overtime of the women's is very different than the men's?
Mm-hmm.
It's very calculated. There's not a lot of great scoring chances, 2-on-1s, wide open, crazy play, 3-on-3. It was very, very disciplined and kind of like, okay, let's go here.
Yeah.
Like, there was no urgency on either side.
I wanted to ask you, you know, that there's whatever the sport is, I'm the same when we win something, for some reason, it seems to matter more, but not enough to have known it was really even on. I wanted to ask you about, because you said about a professional women's league. There's the WNBA. Does it do anything for women's basketball? I'm not even 100% sure it's still in operation.
Well, we don't have any teams in this country, so why would anybody here get excited except for following the Canadian players like Kia Nurse?
No, I meant
plays for the Phoenix Mercury. I mean, there's no.
I was trying to say is like, there's a WNBA, but is there like a WNBA for women's hockey?
No. Nah. Mm-hmm. Well, good question, Howard. I can't answer it because I don't know what the National Women's Hockey League or the Professional Women's Hockey Association or whatever those acronyms are. I'm unaware as to what their plans are for this year. And obviously COVID, you know, really set them back. You're trying to get a league going here. You got to have fans in the stands. I mean, that game last night would have been wild if there were fans there. Instead, it was not manufactured, but you had to listen to Rob.
It's not the same excitement. Yeah. No, I get it.
No, it's not the same excitement, but even beyond that, there is a league. And last year, like Montreal and Toronto, and I think there's a Calgary team.
I wouldn't go watch.
No.
And I'm sorry to say, if you gave me free tickets, I wouldn't spend the 2.5 or 3 hours sitting in the stands watching. But I would for Canada, USA.
Yes.
Right. And beyond that,
I won't.
And that's just being honest. And, you know, there seems to be this pressure all the time that the NHL should support it or the government should support it. Well, no, that's not the way pro sports is supposed to work. You're supposed to have a product, sell a ticket, and thrive off that. And if you can't cut it, sorry. End of story.
Here's what I remember most about Billie Jean King organizing women for a professional circuit and starting to watch women's tennis and going, hey, they're pretty good. Chris Everett, Billie Jean, Martina. It was good, right? But when I found out the background of it, how they had to organize like a union, have a professional women's tennis union, and how the men were like, no, forget it. No chance. They all want to come and watch us play. I mean, that sort of started it, and that's 50 odd years ago. So it's going to be hard. I mean, you need a piece of the entertainment pie, and you're not putting a second rate product out there. But when you're comparing it to men's professional hockey, it's an unfair comparison.
Well, it's really hard. I mean, obviously, I spent a lot of time watching golf, and I will on occasion, depending on if Brooke Henderson's playing or there's a Canadian connection. I will watch the LPGA, and I would just say this to guys who are, you know, don't think it's not the same as the men's game, but I'll tell you what, it's a lot more relatable to the average player.
Very true. Mm-hmm.
And you'll learn more from watching them swing a golf club than you will from watching Bryson DeChambeau, because you are never going to create that motion. Mm-hmm. But I think the women's golf game is in a pretty good place as far as a professional sports entity is concerned.
Yeah. See, my girlfriend will not watch women's golf.
Oh, okay, but I'm just saying,
and here's why: she finds it boring. She finds it on the green, two putts from 20 feet.
No, I understand.
She wants a Bryson DeChambeau type of person. She wants that has no personality in the women's game.
Yeah, but Mark, versus
the men's game.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is we're talking about women's sports and will people watch them and women's.
Well, I just mentioned to you, so a lot of people won't watch LPGA.
No, but
Brooke Henderson's there.
I'm just talking about as an entity around the world. It's a pretty robust tour. They have eyeballs. Yeah, they have eyeballs that watch it.
And they have their own revenue streams.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They have their endorsements and all the things that women are looking for in pro sports, they seem to have.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's as exciting it's not the same game, but they seem to have figured out a way to get people to watch it. And it's a worldwide, you know, given the Asian connection, which it's a global game in a way that other women's sports aren't. I love having you here, and there's a couple things I did want to talk to you about. I'm going to switch gears here because Freddie and I were talking about how, you know, when I was playing music as a living, I didn't really appreciate the music, but you've been a Tragically Hip fan for a long time. And it was kind of a joke on the show with Freddie and I that I wasn't, he was, but, do you think that, we'll ever appreciate the band here in Canada the way, you know, that I don't know how to put this, like, sort of help me out here, Fred. Like, I think I appreciate them more now, but do you think they will go down as sort of the greatest rock band that we'll ever have produced? And I'm Rush and all these bands, but there's something about the Tragically Hip that's almost like Canadians when we're competing in you know, an Olympics, right? There's an affinity for the band that's different than just a regular rock band.
Yeah, and I think the tragedy of it, the death of Gord Downie prematurely, will encase them in history, in Canadian history. That were Gord still alive and they were still touring, we probably wouldn't be talking about this. We would know how popular they are. But his premature death, you know, I guess, I don't know, could I compare it to when Jim Morrison died, what it did to the LA music scene? Completely different on many levels. And I think more so because Gord in his later years really was the first to stand up and say, we have to treat our indigenous people better.
Yeah.
And that just solidified him as the quintessential Canadian, I guess, in the eyes of many of us. It just solidified it. And then his death, of course, we all mourned it. So.
And his buddy Justin is sure fucked up that from his end. But anyway, you know what I love about the Tragically Hip? So often in Canada, we judge acts, entertainment acts. We judge them based on their success in the United States.
Yes.
But look at the Tragically Hip has had virtually no success outside of Canada, yet they're so beloved. It's sort of a unique situation.
Yeah.
It's like a pocket. There's certain pockets, right, that where they would tour through certain areas. And
Western New York.
Knew about them.
Yeah, and Michigan. Yeah.
But also, I mean, when I was I saw them over 100 times. And
really?
I knew each of the guys individually, you know, as a group, sure. But I mean, I knew them all individually. And like nice guys, like nice
down-to-earth
guys from Kingston. You know, one was a high school teacher. One's father was a judge. Like just very, you know, like relatable is probably the best word. Relatable people.
Well, I think it's analogous.
You know them and just, oh, that's my neighbor.
It's what we were talking about in terms of what emotions rise no matter what the sport a Canadian team is playing in. Like Fred said, when the women won last night and the anthem plays, there's you get emotional. I'm not making it very a good point, but I think there's this sort of analogy to how we feel about the Tragically Hip as Canadians, you know, like there's something Canadian. It's because of the unique Canadian aspect of what you're saying about they didn't have success in the States. They're not an REM or a Soundgarden. They're our band.
Yeah.
You know, I've mentioned this a couple of times, conversation with Ivor Hamilton yesterday and Darren Wozlik, who worked at CFNY and big music fans. We were talking about Neil Young for a few minutes, and that feeling you get sitting around a campfire and Harvest Moon comes on. Like, you can't, like, that's Canadian, man. That's how do you explain those feelings? And Howard, you said when you were up north, you rediscovered or you discover the Tragically Hip like never before because of the setting up north.
The greatest cottage music ever.
Yeah.
Bob Cajun. We're going up there. We're actually going up there in around the that particular area.
Yeah, I was there in the summer.
I get shivers just thinking about it. And I know the backstory of the song, too.
Yes.
All that. Like, I know the backstory. It wasn't even Gord's. Like, it was one of the girls that worked, you know, with Jake Gold's management group, Sarah, had a cottage up there. Or was at a cottage up there. And she had said, you know, she came back, hey, how was your weekend? And, you know, she said to Gord something to the effect of, oh, man, we were in Bob Cajun and the constellations revealed the stars and whatever. And Gord had never been up there or had never experienced that. And he just sort of got a chill from it and wrote it into the lyric. Beautiful.
Well, I sat on a dock a week or two ago, Mark, and I had these pretty good headphones that I have and listening to a bunch of hip songs. And like, you're just struck by how apropos that is, that feeling of being up north, and the same with Harvest Moon and such. But I'll tell you, my experience at the Edge, as a guy, you know, like a lot of things in your 30s, I just didn't really understand the significance of the band to our listeners. I didn't. I really admit it now. I just didn't get it.
Maybe it wasn't happening at that time, Howard. Well, maybe in that moment, it was like, oh, here's a tragically hip again.
Well, that's what it was. Well, and for, I would say for someone like you, like if you're reporting sports every night, it becomes a, every story isn't as significant to you. It's just like, hey, up next, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, but, or here's another Blue Jay game.
Exactly.
162nd in a row.
Plus, Howard, back when you played them or we played them at the Edge, they weren't as precious then as they are now.
True.
They're just, they're not. That's come with time and catalogs and feelings and Gord's death, all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting to think, because my kids, like my eldest son, who's almost 30, he, you know, when he was a baby, he wanted to hear the Tragically Hip. It, you know, he wanted to hear it. It helped him relax. He liked it in the car. He was always going hip. Just, you know, but he, because he heard it as a baby, as a youngster, he, it was always on. There was always a song going here. We were playing it on, you know, on whatever CDs or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so he loves it now. And it's weird to see someone and of his age group listening to music that they never got to see them.
Yeah, I know.
Very few of them did. Mm-hmm. Like us, I guess. I never saw the Beatles.
Well, you were saying that about a Blue Jay game. Like a lot of things when you're in the business, like, I'm, you know, we're playing 6 songs an hour, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, as I said earlier on the show, songs were just things that were going on when Fred and I were trying to think of what we're going to do next. And and as I said, when you listen to it for a living, I never listened to it away from the radio station, because it was one of, you know, it's just like this thing. By the way, we are going to do Big Ass Fans. Before we let Mark Hebscher go, let's talk a little bit about what's that?
I'm a big ass fan.
Well, let me tell you, you're going to be big. Here's a little. Hang on a second. Dan's going to get mad at me. Hang on. Let me turn that off. Here's Phil and the Big Ass Fans song.
For better air, circulation, yeah, comfort, and peace of mind. BigAssFans.ca. The fans you want in your life. Big Ass Fans.
Talk to us,
yeah.
Phil.
Big Ass Fans.ca.
All right, Freddie, do your thing. And then, Hebsy, we're going to say goodbye to you in about 2 minutes. Okay, pal? You're a good boy.
For better comfort, cooling, and whisper quiet operation, check out bigassfans.ca. Hover over the shop drop-down and shop online for industry-leading fans of all sizes for home or business use. And get 10% off anything online when you enter the code HUMBLE at the checkout. That's bigassfans.ca. Shop and enter the word HUMBLE at checkout. And stop dying of the heat, okay? Superb engineering with these fans. They've won awards and hundreds of patents to prove it. At their labs, they test, they retest, then test some more. So when you get this fan, you're getting quality, and it delivers everything they claim it will. Okay? BigAssFans.ca. Shop today.
Okay, we're going to have a free-for-all. Mark Hebscher, stick around for the Dan Duran News. This is a lot of anchor power. You've got one of Canada's preeminent sports anchors and broadcasters in Mark Hebscher. And you've got Dan Duran, who legendary. Dan, can you turn your camera on? Or are you okay? Okay sharing the spotlight with Mark Hebscher, or is that too much firepower for you?
I don't know what to say.
All right.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
How you like that, Hebs? He's got a big wang, but he don't care. And now with the news, Dockside, it's Dan Duran, everybody.
Today is September 1. Time to get serious. I think that's what Fred says all the time, right? Time to get serious.
After Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, oh. I corrected that last week, yes.
Okay. It's not September 1st, it's after Labor Day. Please continue.
Okay. It's National Burnt Ends Day today. To celebrate, get your mom to overcook a roast and then fight with your sister for the end piece.
Yeah, I used to love that. It's funny, when you're a kid, you like the overdone piece at the end.
Yeah. I used to quickly fight with my sister.
Hang on.
Quickly, do you remember this story, Howard? And it was so sweet of you. My mom and dad live in Stayner. You're up there golfing and you decide, I'm going to go see Dick and June.
That's right.
My mom gets all excited, cooks a roast beef. And then your review of the roast beef was interesting. Because my mom used to cook it almost black, but for some reason it was always tender, but black. And I remember you telling me, yeah, I had roast beef in your room. Yeah, it was sort of really well done. Like, it was good, but it was...
Well, I don't remember that. I do remember having dinner with your parents. I was playing a course up there, Mark, called Mad River.
Oh, beautiful course.
Yeah, really tough golf course.
In Creemore.
Yep. And mm-hmm. I was playing in a tournament, went to visit mom and dad, Patterson. But I used to love that. And Dan used to fight with your sister over the well-done piece of the roast. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fight. It was always a fight when we sat down. And then that was really the only good part of the roast.
No, I know.
My mother never, she always admitted that she was a horrible cook. So
Luba wasn't great either. My mom did make this thing where she would cure brisket in the, like she would do these things where you would cure the meat.
No, my mom was not that adventurous, not that resourceful. My mom would overcook roast beef because in her era, God forbid anything, you know, would have taste. It had to be well cooked. And that end piece, what happened was my brothers and I would always ask for ketchup. And my mom would always say, well, what's the matter? You don't like the taste of it? And we'd say, no, Mom, it's too hot. The ketchup cools it down.
That's very good. We lied to her for
years, but it was horrible, stringy roast beef. Yeah. And her chicken was worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was seriously overcooked. But what do you say to your mother? Like, you know, and then when I went to a friend's house and got deliciously cooked, you know, properly cooked roast beef or chicken, I could not believe how delicious
it was. Yeah, it's much different.
You know, the key word there is era, because even when I, in the 70s, when I was a young guy, the idea of having even a rare steak back then, a lot of people didn't do it.
No, exactly.
It was cooked to brown, and that's the way you ate it. It wasn't until later on, all these variances of meat and how it can be cooked, that I got to enjoy a rare piece of meat.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I remember the part of the roast that was less done. It seemed like chewier or whatever. But now, of course, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Although I'm not a huge fan of like super rare meat. Dan, are you a medium rare guy or a rare guy?
I'm a medium rare guy. Yeah, there's the occasional thing I like rare, but mostly it's medium rare. Yeah. Speaking about the era, I was thinking about this. My mom, that was the era that would a lot of the recipes included Campbell soup cans. In the recipe, you know, like it's mushroom soup and whatever and a lot of Jellos were part of the experience as well.
When I was, I believe it was Italy, it may have been Greece, Darren and I had what they call blue steak, where they just sear it on the outside and it's almost rare on the inside.
And?
Very interesting.
Really?
Very interesting and enjoyable. Done properly.
All right, Dan Duran, I don't know if you've even done a story yet.
No.
Okay, well, here's your goddamn music then. Hang on.
Okay.
Where did it go?
Yeah. Mouse.
All right. Just... It's a long story, Mark. Dan believes that I should have a mouse to operate because that will make it even better than it is. But Dan, what's your story?
In COVID news, the drug ivermectin, which was created to fight worms in horse guts.
Right. Ivermectin.
Ivermectin. It's trending with stupid people.
Nice.
An Ohio judge is forcing doctors to administer the drug to a patient after the patient's wife sued to get him on it. She found out about it from guys like Sean Hannity and that whacked out senator Ron Johnson or keep pushing it, even though there's no proof it works. Now doctors have to decide what to do because they could lose their license for administering a drug for an unlisted condition. Meanwhile, all this ivermectin talk has feed stores in Alberta taking it off the shelves due to increased requests from livestockless people. And yesterday, Health Canada issued this alert to the misguided. If you have purchased ivermectin for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19, stop using it and discard it.
That's right. Stop. What is it? A horse tranquilizer? It's a horse what?
Dewormer.
Horse dewormer.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there are some people that don't want to take the vaccine because... they're stupid fuckers. But
it was just announced today that two Major League Baseball analysts, John Smoltz and Al Leiter, the former Blue Jay, will not be allowed to do the games from the studios, the Major League Baseball studios in Secaucus, New Jersey, because neither are vaccinated. And as you know, and I think I broke the story, Buck Martinez is not and refuses to be vaccinated, so he can't and won't
see
come
it,
to Toronto.
Buck. I would throw, he ain't that fucking good. I would toss his ass out so quickly, Buck Martinez. Seriously, give it to Schulman full time, although he probably wouldn't have the schedule to do it.
No, he doesn't want
anyway,
to.
There's
want that commitment.
Two of the main doctors, and Dan, this could be good information for you to share. Two of the main doctors, DRS doctors, in the anti-vax movement, neither of which has an actual medical degree. Both of them got their fucking degree as doctors online. I'm more of a doctor, but these are the two leading guys of disinformation that people in the anti-vax world are listening to. We're at a funny time here in our existence, boys, and it ain't getting any better anytime soon.
I don't want the vaccination. I don't know what's in it. Will you pass me the horse tranquilizer, please?
That's right.
Like, that's, it's right, none of it.
Do you have the, I don't want vaccines, Christ, but I'll take a horse dewormer if you have one
or whatever it is. Yeah.
Are we judging people now as to whether or not they take the vaccine? Because my favorite athletes, many of them are not vaccinated, and I don't know if they're my favorite guys anymore.
I'll tell you the fact
that they're creeping into it.
Dude, half the PGA Tour are unvaccinated, and I have, for the life of me, can't figure out why. You're traveling around the world. You're surrounded by pretty smart people. Plus, you're multimillionaires. Do you want to get sick and die? Anyway.
But also, doesn't that if you're a golfer and you get the disease, that takes you out of a game, and that takes you out of your earnings.
Well, listen. One of the golfers famously had a 6-shot lead. John Rahm gets a 6-shot lead on the Saturday at a tournament a month or so ago, gets COVID, a positive result. He's out of the tournament. Right. He could have shown up the next day, and as long as he didn't die, was going to win. Anyway, we got to go, guys. Mark Hebscher, Hebsy on Sports every Friday morning at 9:20.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Oh, by the way, Dan, you're up in Peterborough, are you?
Yeah.
We're taking a vacation up there. We might retire up there.
Well,
so you better get out of town.
Whoa! What's going on?
Rates are going down.
What do you mean?
Wait a minute. When you say we, do you mean the new golfing partner? You're talking retirement together already?
Yeah. Listen, it's been things happen fast. She's worked hard her entire life, and she needs a break to be able to go golfing every possible day.
You hit the jackpot. Look at you. Look at you. You got a beautiful girlfriend. She loves golf. Apparently, she's got some gelt. You just go and do, okay?
Right. She used to have a place up in Buckhorn, right? A trailer up in Buckhorn. And she says, I love that area. I go, Peterborough. I know people up there. It's beautiful. We used to have a cottage on Crystal Lake near Fenland Falls. Beautiful. Right. Let's go up there and check it out.
Wow.
There you go.
Congratulations, Mark Hebscher. Always a pleasure. Dan Duran, Dan Duran's news this morning. Great work as always. And thank you. Thank you for your service, Dan Duran.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure to hang out with you guys and, just chat.
And have fun this week. I think you're going to see Danny K. Give him my best for me, okay?
Will do. Later today. Yep.
All right, kids. Don't forget the Humble and Fred Show, always brought to you by healthgage.com. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you soon. HealthGage, of course, you get your real-time data measuring things like blood pressure, oxygen saturation, heart rate, pulse wave velocity, activity levels, and calories burned. What was last night's sleep report? I know what you're wondering. How many hours of sleep? 7.4, Freddie. 2.2 deep, which is good for me. Humble Fred HG is how you get 15% off. And by the way, for you people that have been emailing and asking, the Health Gauge promo code is back in effect and will be for the next couple of months. So go get it now. HealthGauge.com. Promo code Humble Fred HG. Okay? I think we're good. You're good. I'm good. And now we're just waiting for the retirement Sherpa to pop in. Are you wearing your watch still? I didn't see you. You held it up? Yeah, very nice. There it is. Okay, here comes the Sherps. You know, I had to take it off. I will say this. A week or so ago, playing golf, because I was sweating so much that the band was kind of sliding up and down my greasy arm. But hopefully that... I don't know what it's like up there, but the humidity was kind of taken out of the... The day yesterday was pretty nice, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. In fact, I'm sitting here Actually, as I sit at this table, my nipples are erect.
I'm sorry, what?
A little bit of a chill.
All right. Well, what do you want us to do with that information?
Oh, I'm just telling you, you know that when you get a little bit of a chill and your nipples go erect, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, but you're very...
I thought that was a good description of where I'm at physically.
You are. You're very nipple aware, though, I find. Look at Phil's face. Phil, what are your nipples doing?
Hooray, hooray, it's September 1st. My nipples are erect.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm happy for you. It is definitely more comfortable weather. Mm-hmm. And now here is my partner for the Old Country Classic. It's a golf tournament, and I was flattered to get the call from Coach Tim Niblett to be his partner once again. This will be our, I think, our second time we've teamed up in recent memory, last year or so, right? You and me?
Absolutely looking forward to it. I'm disappointed you didn't comment on the hat. You liked Hebsies, so I thought I'd put a Gator's hat on.
Oh, it is a Gator's hat. Well, you're resplendent in all things Gator anyway. So, yes, you look great. I like that hat on you.
It's good when you have a bad hair day, right? I mean, that's the way it goes. I'm kind of between Daryl Hall and Tom Petty hair right now, so I'm in flux.
Well, anyhow, man, it's good to be with you as always. Tim Niblett, of course, tim.niblett or raymondjames.ca. Before we get to the scripted, not scripted, before we get to the notes that you've sent us, I did want to say something about our age group. And it has to do with retirement. I was playing in a qualifier for a tournament yesterday, and, you know, we get to talking, and I was playing with a guy who's a couple years older than me, and it seems universal with men our age, Tim and Fred, that retirement comes up all the time. And I find it fascinating when people are surprised that I'm not ready to retire, because this guy yesterday was basically, his conversation was about how he can't wait for his job to be done. And he said, what about you? And I said, I don't think that way. I don't want my job to be done. I really like doing it. And what I guess I want to say is that, I mean, we've been pretty lucky that we spent a good portion of our lives doing something we enjoy. But in the world of retirement, what do you find, Timmy? Like, is it half and half? People can't wait? What does that sound like to you?
Well, I've often said, you know, one of the best retirement plans is to enjoy the job you're doing, right? Is to the career, the profession, whatever it is to not want to have to run away yelling and screaming and getting the heck out of there. If you can enjoy 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, there's plenty of benefits past the money side of things even too, right? The social, the cerebral, all those good old things. So I was just joking with a listener slash client yesterday, one of my appointments I had, and we had a great conversation, super appreciative, very happy, great guy, successful. And I said, you know, you're really screwing my retirement up, because why would I want to leave this gig, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're such a nice person. You appreciate what I do, and I feel I'm making a contribution. That's a great retirement plan, too.
I think it's tied to how much you hate your job, obviously. I think that's number one. I know a few guys couldn't wait to leave, but they had physical jobs and outside. They couldn't wait. My word of caution to people is be careful what you wish for, because my battle over the past year, even doing this show, the show's over at 9 o'clock, is boredom. Summer's a bit different, but filling those hours, I'm going to be honest, like, and I know COVID had something to do with it, but just, I look towards October, November, December, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do every day? And that's a problem for me. And I guess if you hated your job, it's okay to just sit there and maybe do nothing day to day, but I'm having a tough time with it personally.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone either, by the way.
Yeah.
I'd say as an advisor, you know, why would you work at a job you hate? I mean, mm-hmm. I know at some point in time, maybe you get too entrenched in it, there's not an option, but that's a lot of time for a lot of angst and negative energy and dread and fear mm-hmm. and all. I really get fascinated when I see studies on what makes people happy. There's a a prof at University of Florida, Erin Westgate, a follower on Twitter. She's got tons of great stuff about happiness and self-actualization and all, and quite often having a sense of purpose, of course, is a big part of that, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when we retire, if you don't have a sense of purpose that really gets you going in the morning, that's a tough hole to fill.
My older brother, who's been on the show recently quite a bit, he once told me, this is years ago, and he'd been working in management training. He said, one of the things that makes people the most unhappy is working a job that doesn't give them satisfaction / mm-hmm. or working a job where they're not feeling mm-hmm. actualized and having a purpose. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was interesting, Timmy, because, mm-hmm. you know, you and I play a lot of golf with guys, again, in our age group, and it seems there's most of them are either retired, ready to retire. And I know for and you know, you enjoy what you're doing. You don't need to do this every day, but there's a, I don't know, I just feel that it does give you a bit of a different perspective on the world, being our age and still looking forward to coming to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's talk about something called commuted value. You're seeing this on some advertisements during the golf, you say.
Well, I heard you guys talking about the golf course on Monday, and what a showdown that. And it was just amazing, as you said, the difference in the styles, right? So since a Canadian broadcast is over on the American station, we get the pleasure of seeing the same ads over and over and
brutal
over again, right?
Yes.
And, you know, the ones for Asante.
I was going to say, the Asante people are not doing themselves any favors.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we know they exist, and individually they're good ads. Again, whether it's Canadian Tire or Asante or whomever, it just seems like we see too many of them on the same broadcast.
Yeah, of course.
You know, they're super well done. They tell the story of the relationship between the advisor and the client and the appreciation and all. And one of the ones mentions commuted values, and that probably gets by a lot of people as far as the content. But it's something that is super, super important, right? Because a commuted value is if you change your job and there's been a pension involved, it's a present day value of the pension. So do you take that out, or you leave it in the pension?
And what are the scenarios that you would and you wouldn't?
So a lot of times, of course, it just comes down to number crunching, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, interest rates are pretty low right now. When we see what the equivalent your money would need to make to give you the same amount of income. Now, mm-hmm. the extra dimension is opportunity versus certainty, right? You've got the certainty with the pension. You've got the opportunity if you pull it out. It's usually in the 4-5% range that they're guaranteeing you, really, in essence, with the pension dollars. But there's a couple of real big downsides people don't think about, Fred, to that is that if, heaven forbid, you pass away prematurely, your spouse would only get 2/3 on average of that money. If you've taken the commuted value out, you'd get 100% of it. And then, of course, once your spouse passes, 0% goes to beneficiaries in all likelihood, whereas if you take it out, then whatever's left will go to your kids, mm-hmm. your grandkids, whatever's important to you. So those are a couple of super important dimensions to take into account.
Yeah, I'd say, and again, you know, I know this is partly why we're doing this, is so that people are intrigued and they go, maybe I should talk to somebody about this. And that somebody is you.
Sherpa.
Because, you know, these are the kind of discussions you can have and have somebody give you a sort of sober or semi-sober second thought. And
depends on the time of day.
I saw that there was a shot of your kitchen or parts of your kitchen, and you had this beautiful wine fridge. Is that what that was? In your...
Yeah, so the mercifully short version is my beloved wife has a different priority on projects in our homes than I do.
Oh, does she?
I moan and groan about it, and then eventually, it's like that saying, first it's what denied, then it's, you know, understood, and then it's taken as fact or whatever.
Sure.
So the new 75-inch Samsung TV and wine fridge were my buy-ins for redoing a kitchen, I thought was just fine.
Good for you.
Wait a minute. What? 75-inch television in your kitchen?
Well, kind of. It's a very open concept, right?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, open concept.
Level
right.
is like two stories. And so my justification was the scope of the cupboards and the whole, because it's like kitchen, dining room, whatever, all involved.
I get it. Right.
It was so big, like a 55-inch TV, it just gets swallowed up by
no,
that.
No, no, seriously. How
remember,
dare you?
And again, you know, many times during the show, we've talked about back in the day in eras. Remember when a 25-inch television was
massive?
That was the, like, if you had a 25-inch color, you were doing all right. You were moving on up.
Moving on up. Speaking of which, I want to talk to you tomorrow about that history of the sitcom. Fantastic series. Have you watched any of them?
Some of it, yes.
Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. Tim.Nibble at RaymondJames.ca. Go have, listen, if you've got someone, that's fine. Tim just says, hey, listen, if you want to have another conversation, a second opinion, Tim.Nibble at RaymondJames.ca. He is a portfolio manager, Raymond James. They're a good bunch of folks. And thank you for this conversation today there, pal.
Well, my pleasure as always. When I saw you still at Hebsy and Dan on there, I just poured another cup of coffee and waited my turn. So great to talk to you guys as always, and enjoy and profit.
And I will tell you this right now, the Old Country Classic with you as my partner. Oh. I'm using it as a warm-up for the Ontario Senior Am, which I qualified for again yesterday.
I heard that. Yeah, that's awesome. Our odds on Bodog are looking pretty good, actually.
Thank you. I'm gonna. You know what? Thank you for reminding me. I still have to talk about Bodog. You're a good man. All right, Timmy.
Pleasure. Enjoy, boys.
Yeah, have fun at Ladies' Day today.
Mm-hmm.
Hope to see you then. Yeah, it's funny he mentioned Bodog because I had it open in front of me here, and I was like, oh yeah, we got to talk about the NFL preseason, which is in full swing. Man, mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys, Buccaneers tonight. No, I'm sorry. Is it tonight? Yeah. No, it's the 9th. I apologize. This is the regular season week one next week?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yep.
Bodog.eu/sports has all the games, and Tampa Bay is going to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys are favored, paying 270 to win, and the over-under is 51.5. So I guess they're saying Tom Brady at age 43 when he begins. Is he 43 or 44? Something like this.
Something up there, yep.
I guess they're saying, you know, it doesn't matter anymore because the Cowboys are favored. Who's your team? Are you a, I can't remember. I know you're a Buffalo Bills guy, right?
Buffalo Bills. Although I'm a little pissed because several of them aren't vaccinated. And Cole Beasley, one of their key receivers, is a king-size asshole right. of the day when it comes to vaccines. But, yeah, the Bills are my team.
Well, the Bills' first game in the regular season is a 1 o'clock start on Sunday the 9th. And it's against the Steelers. Steelers are favored, paying 230 to win, and the over-under is 48.5. The point of all of this, really, is about Bodog, my friend. And Bodog is the place to go when it comes to all things betting, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or a casino player. Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. And I will be watching the Tour Championship this weekend. And John Rahm, who I think is still the number one player in the world, is paying $355 for a win. And the Canadian, the only one to qualify, Corey Connors, who I really, really like, has a is a long shot to take the Tour Championship. Okay.
As you would expect.
Yeah, but he made the top 30, and he's a top 20, 30 player in the world. And he's from Listowel. Listowel, is that how you pronounce it? I think he's from. Okay, he's a local boy. Phyllis, how's this experience going for you? When are you going back to work at the meatball factory?
Well, on Friday, if they don't fire me.
They're not going to fire you, Phil. They are happy. They should be happy to have you.
Because I just saw Twitter.
What happened to Twitter? What's on Twitter?
Yeah, we've got so there's at least one listener who's already guessed where I'm working, and it's like, I'm not sure this is gonna work.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny you say that because a couple of my friends I've talked about already today, the clues we've given, they didn't put They didn't put two and two together, so we've done a pretty good job, Humble and I, of having fun with it and not really disclosing where you're working, although it seems obvious to us, but...
Considering we're in a meat factory now.
The chances of somebody you work for seeing that tweet from somebody on our please just don't give it another thought, but do this for me. Join us again tomorrow. We're going to talk more about Phil and Pearl, and of course Phil's a valued member of this company. Phil, do your business.
This episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Yikes Guy, The Shaver's Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and our newest sponsor, Dewar, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com.